2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 21. There are three key sections in this little passage, verses 12 to 15, verses 16 to 18, and then 19 to 21. They are the paragraph breaks in our reading here, which is helpful. Not always the case that they're just contained to one paragraph, but it is helpful here. And I did speak to some extent of verses 12 to 15 last week, so I'm not going to repeat all I said last week about that by way of introduction. But it is worth noting this section, verses 12 to 15, where Peter indicates he always wants to remind his readers, fellow Christians, about the truth that they already know. He always wants to refresh their memory. And he says he's going to do that as long as he lives, and even, as we saw last week, after he departs. Some of you may be wondering, well, why is it always necessary to keep on reminding oneself of these things? And here's a good example. Claire works in a school, as many of you know, and she has to sort of read the children's presentations of work one way or another. And she said to me some time ago, you know, you get to the point and you're looking at the scripts that the year 5 and year 6 children have written, sort of 9, 10, 11-year-olds, and you see again and again the same spelling mistake. And after a while, you see it so often, it becomes normal. And you almost forget how to spell the word properly. So because you've seen it incorrectly spelt so often. You'll think of another example, and you see this all the time at supermarkets. I'm a bit of a grammar nerd, you might get this. As you go to supermarkets, what do you see? You have the 10 items or less queue, don't you? So if you're in a hurry, you can go to the 10 items or less queue. But of course, it should be 10 items or fewer. Okay, it shouldn't be 10 items or less at all. It should be 10 items or fewer. But the problem is that we see 10 items or less so often that we think, oh, maybe that is right. After all, I thought it was fewer, but maybe it is right. Well, Tesco wouldn't have got it wrong, would they, in all their signs? In fact, Asda would do it as well, and Sainsbury's, they're all the same. Maybe it is. Even in Amazing Grace, the hymn. Now, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days. No fewer days. No fewer days to sing God's praise. Maybe it is less after all. Maybe I've got it wrong. Okay. Alternatively, that one that's coming more and more, and I think this is a reaction that people have had to people getting it wrong. So I am going to do something or other. So my friend and I are going to do something or other. But so often it's me and my friend. Me and so-and-so are going to do this. Me and John are going to go to the pub. Okay, it's not me and John. Because you wouldn't say me is going to go to the pub. You'd say I am going to go. So it's me and my friend and I are going to go to the pub. But so often people get it wrong. And now we're hearing people thinking, oh no, I've got to remember, it's not me, it's I. So now we're hearing people saying, they gave it to my friend and I. But actually, no, that's wrong as well, because it's not they gave it to I. You know, you don't give something to I, you give it to me. So we're hearing that, but we are hearing them so often that actually as language begins to change, that we're wondering, oh, is that right? I thought it was this, but maybe I'm... Now, we need to remind ourselves, at the end of the day, language is going to change. We're not going to change that. But the gospel, that's unchanging. The good news about Jesus, that never changes. The word of God is unchanging. We have an unchanging God. Our hymn has just said that we have an unchanging word. And so we need to remind ourselves when we hear something that we think, oh, maybe that, I didn't think it was that, but maybe it is because I've heard it so often. No, it's really good to remind ourselves. Peter wants, I need to refresh your memory. I will always remind you of these things, he says. It is good that you refresh your memory. So it is quite possible you will hear all kinds of things about the good news of Jesus that are maybe not quite right. Refresh your memory. Go back to the root source. Go back to the initial testimony and see it for yourself. So that's the first section. Peter wants to remind us. his readers. And it's really important that we remind ourselves in all the shifts and confusions of the world. Let's remind ourselves. Secondly, then, verses 16 to 18, you get a little bit of a sense, don't you, that Peter is responding here to the kind of things that his readers may have heard, and that the criticisms and the comments that have been made by false teachers and others who are ignorant around the world and in his area. And you'll have heard the same kind of things here. So Peter says straight away, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about these things. Rather, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now, it may be that the false teachers were actually going around and saying, well, obviously it's a story to explain something. It obviously didn't really happen, but it's a story that helps to understand. And Peter says, no. It's not cleverly invented stories. We were eyewitnesses of these events. And so maybe you've heard people have said, well, I don't think these things really happened. There are people, in fact, Richard Dawkins, in his book, you know, some people like to call him the celebrity atheist, if you know what I mean. He published a lot of books. He's a published biologist, but he is at very best agnostic about God, but pretty much he's an ardent atheist. He doesn't see the purpose of religion. He wants us to follow science where it goes, all the way to where it goes. And he says there is just no proof, no evidence of God. And he even goes as far as in his book, the God Delusion, he writes about Jesus, and then a little throwaway comment, you know, we're not even sure whether Jesus ever existed. Now, if you're saying, well, Richard Dawkins, you've done all your evidence, your research in biology, I'm sure you're very thorough. Would you not think it would be a little bit respectful to all the serious historians who actually do know, you know, that Jesus really existed? They're absolutely convinced, more so than other famous people in history. There's more historical evidence for historical Jesus than all kinds of other people. And you dismiss him as if he may be completely made up. But the world that we live in, brothers and sisters, is a world that has that live question. Not sure whether Jesus ever even existed in history as a human being. Come back to the source. Peter says, you know these things. Let me remind you, it's not a cleverly invented story. It's not a myth made up to teach a particular moral truth. We were there. We are eyewitnesses of him and all he did. So the false teachers come and they say, well, you know, it's just a story. Peter says, no, we were there. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Did you recognize that from our gospel reading? Luke chapter 9, the Mark gospel as well. The transfiguration of Jesus, Moses and Elijah standing with Jesus. There's a sense in which as you look at that passage and Peter says, let's put up three tents for you all, one for Elijah, one for Moses and one for Jesus. Put them all on a level. He doesn't know what he's saying, but they're all great, great figures. And then the voice from heaven says, no. Let's get this right. This is my son. Jesus is my son whom I love. Listen to him, says God. So yes, Moses, yes, Elijah, but this is my son. And if you go back into the Old Testament and look at Psalm 2 and other parts, Isaiah 42, Isaiah 49, the stories of the servant of God, the son of God, the faithful one whom God loves, we begin to see who Jesus is. And Peter says, we were there. We heard the voice. We know. We saw. This is not a cleverly invented story. So he wants to remind his readers, and he reassures them, we were there. This is eyewitness testimony. Remember, Peter has just said, I'm about to sort of get this tent that I live in the body, is about to go. He's about to die. Early Christian tradition tells us that Peter was executed in around the year 68 AD by the Emperor Nero. Just like Jesus said, they would lead him where he didn't want to go, and he would die for his faith. This is not a cleverly invented story. He was an eyewitness, and he took that witness to his grave. He trusted his story. He trusted what he saw right to death. And then the third section, verse 19 to 21. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain. Again, as I said last week, there's a sense in which who is the we here? Who is the you here? Well, we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it. We, the apostles, we saw him. The word of the prophets, the Old Testament scriptures, the anticipation of the Messiah coming, all that God would do, they had in Jesus Christ, standing before them, walking among them, doing the things, making the promises, living, dying, rising again. We have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you would do well to pay attention to it, to the word of the prophets, the scriptures, as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. What a lovely image. There's all kinds of things we could say about those verses. But note this, verse 20. Above all, you must understand, no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So again, Peter reinforcing, this is not a cleverly invented story. It's not something that people have made up in order to make a particular point. Rather, this is God's word, God's testimony about himself, God's testimony about what he is going to do, made public through the ministry of men. God's word spoken through human beings as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Christ, the fulfillment of the Old Testament, there before the apostles, and Peter's instruction is, pay attention to that word. Pay attention to the prophecy. Pay attention to the word more certain in Christ Jesus himself. And therefore I want to encourage us to do exactly the same. As Peter writes to his first century audience, so he surely would want us to do the same, to remind ourselves, to refresh our memory of the true gospel, to remind ourselves and reassure ourselves that it's not cleverly invented stories, it's not made up, but actually it is eyewitness testimony of what God was doing in their midst in Christ Jesus himself. And then to see, as Peter says, that Christ is himself the fulfillment of the scriptures, that he is the word of the prophets made more certain, and we can look to him, and we can look to the Old Testament, and indeed all the writings of the New Testament, to learn more about this gospel, to learn more about this God who came into our midst. This is a trustworthy word, and we would do well to pay attention to it. Brothers and sisters, let's pray as we reflect on these words and ask God to shape our lives and bring himself glory through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Peter, for what he saw, for his humility in understanding where he got things wrong, and his readiness and his zeal to make sure that he passed on what was true and right and good. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would refresh our memories, that you would make us keen to hold the truth in our minds at all times, to go back, to pay attention to the word of the prophets, and the word of the prophets made more certain in Christ. Please hold us, we pray, when our faith is weak, where we have doubts, and when we hear the confusing stories and narratives of our world. Please remind us who Christ is, of all he has done, and your love for us in him. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.